Thank you to everyone for coming out. It's been a long journey, but I'm glad to be here and sharing the space with everyone. So thank you personally from California. We're supposed to send our love. So anyone who comes to the West Coast, it's exactly what it sounds like. Beautiful. So saying that, the set that I'm actually writing, that I'm going to be reading, it was kind of one of those things where I was working on my novel and my editor was like, oh, I know writing sucks, it's hard, and it's not easy, but try writing a poem. So kind of started doing that, and I don't know, I guess this feature set kind of took a life of its own, and now I can say I'm going to feature it because it all kind of sounds the same. So it's kind of been my journey from being in Canada to California, so I hope you take the ride with me as we go along from authenticity. You tell me you want to be authentic when you come into our store demanding to spend $40,000 on curtains for your floor-to-ceiling windows. You talk about how you recently splurged on some paintings and you fear the new canvas will be bleached by the very sun you came here to enjoy. Authentic is not simply choosing a color of fabric on a swatch and insisting on golden threads from India. Authentic is meeting the artisan whose calloused hand is fulfilling your contract. Prepping a light cotton fabric on the tabletop to blend in a heavy linen, to weigh down the base and have it fall to the floor, to then add patterned lines of flax from Africa upon your request. Authenticity is learning about who is handling your order, to go there, see his home and how his family lives, in a village with a slumlord making ends meet to finish your fucking contract. Of course, when you valet your Q5, you're not concerned about that. You simply want to display the new art on your perfectly painted walls, to be exploited when guests come over. Curtains become the backdrop to your rooms, something people glaze over when moving through your space. Like when you don't see me walking from the bus stop? Yeah. Surprised? Well, what the fuck? Do you think we appear behind the counter to serve you like blossoms blooming at daybreak? Huh. We have commutes. Long commutes that you don't give a shit about. Because when you say you want to be authentic, you want to tell people we did it ethically and costly, and that the people were trading fairly with each other, and there was no gluten added. Got it. Then, we'll have it ready for you in a few months, because here we too want things to be authentic, and that simply means making money. Inconvenient. Valet ticket sticks to sweat, shaking on the seat. His wife calls, he flags the waiter. Our room goes unchecked. Prada heel stabs the pedal. Lingerie goes unseen. Ma'am, can you move your car? Yeah. Okay, off a cliff. Regroup. Paying someone to hear yourself talk doesn't sound like an investment, but when I gave him the gist of my problems, he said a few sessions and I'll be as good as new. I knew what? I wasn't quite sure, and I sat in his office, decorated by doubt, nested in a great location, standing where my own issues grew from being new to LA. I confessed how my internal six-year-old voice is crying out to be heard, but my tone-deaf ears are drowning her out with rye-based Manhattans along Santa Monica Boulevard. He appreciates my candor, but writes down in that pad, oh, that pad of paper where my demise are listed in each time question, making me say out loud better thoughts and choices. The debates work, his thoughts versus mine. I can feel the changes each day. A path is clearing for my ego to leave. He knows it's working because I keep coming back to regroup on this couch. We don't say goodbye when we know it's all over. He tells me I'll be okay and reassures me it's done. I walk out and pass the bar. I reach for my phone and text him a note. Thanks for making me listen. Real things. Ghosts. Little dogs. And hungry middle school kids with guns. If none of these terrify you, then you're an Angelino. Hands. A woman bought a fancy watch with gold and diamonds in both hands, hoping now to have more time. But she soon realizes there's not a touch of sympathy. Complete. She always shows off her slender legs, disregarding her blotchy department store self-tanner and the dark purple bruises on her knees. But it's this lack of concern that I envy as we stand in our apartment, shortening her denim skirt with our dull kitchen scissors. When she dances in the lights, an air of confidence is shown to others. Where after being beaten down by a boy, any attention is sought out like gold, leaving us to sieve out the users, the abusers, the ones who try to take her money as it falls to the stage. This diner is the only one open where the patrons wait for her. A man stares at her fake tits and says he'll pay. She hates the gesture but takes it. Boobs bought from a married businessman who says there'll be an investment. Well, today they're paying off. We head to the back to spark up a joint next to the dumpster, hoping to quiet down the ringing in my ears. She pulls out numbers from her bra and starts balling them up and aiming for the open lid. We laugh as another hopeful loses their chance each time she scores. She drops a few ones from her pocket into the tip jar as we take our food. Her iceberg blue eyeshadow starts to crease when she smiles. I know she will want to rest her legs to prepare for it again. The walk, the talk, the meet, the dates, the very thing that makes her whole. To reach into my book, which is as a deal of only 5 euro. Seeing that I'm coming all the way from California, I thought I would read something that's kind of close to home, physically and to me, but Malibu. Malibu. Leaves sharp as blades line the streets, getting ready for battle. Sewer scent goes unscented for weeks until rain dampens night's excitement. Breaks barely heard in the ocean as a silence is built to cover the tension of the night. Location and land for the top of the hill makes the bloodshed more expensive. Hardcore hardcover. The first line stands there, demanding us to sit down, where it paints the reader and grips them around the throat, clenching on to read, pulling them to every word, forcing the hardcover down their throat, breathing between gags. Yet we desperately crave it, like how we divulge the details over drinks the next night. When I get to hear these book addicts confess to the pleasure of the pressure, how they rarely ever finish before they read the last sentence.
Thanks, Krishna.
Guilt and sadness trying to hail a cab, for no longer can it be my corner, and no longer can I be its trip. Okay. The worm basks. I just know this worm is in a better place than I. I'm on my fourth shot from drinking off of his back, trying to forget the one I trusted with love. Her VO5 sprayed hair would glisten in the sun, while the rose-scented talcum powder started to leave a line of sweat on her chest, where she always caught me staring. Home was no longer cold after a 12-hour shift, but warm from a hot stove. She made me want to be a better man, not the man who keeps a bar stool warm, adding dirt to a sticky countertop, trying to avoid eye contact with other patrons in the mirror behind the bartender. I thought she and I finally agreed on my shifts at work, but she kept nagging me to stay home. So when I left to jump on the back of the truck, she opened up the back door to my brother and betrayal. I'll never forget the day when I found them. I chased them both out with a sharp pain in my heart, throwing them out with their clothes, and her again after she came back. People tell me that they're together now and happy together. Fuck. At one time I wanted to provide for her, to give her the world. Now that world is bottled up on the shelf, served in my shot glass, next to over-seasoned carne asadas. The waitress with the cranberry lipstick-stained teeth smiled if you order another shot. She doesn't care if you're too drunk to perform. She just likes the company. So this is to you, Worm, the only one who will watch me sleep tonight from the bottom of my tequila.